Can be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, and let's open them up to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, if you will, in your Bible. I would ask you to pray for the funeral service tomorrow for Liz Fanning. It'll be held here at the church at 10 o'clock. With that in mind, we could use a little help tonight right after church cleaning the auditorium. So normally, Brother Miss Kelly come on Monday morning and clean, all right? So at least we could help them clean the auditorium and maybe the bathrooms back here. That would be a blessing, you know, if you can run a vacuum cleaner and a swabber. What do you call those things? A swabber, you know, and a porcelain brush. All right, yeah. If you can run those kind of things, you know, and I know it's a lot of machinery and it's complicated, but if you could do that, that'd be magnificent, all right? So if you could help us right after church tonight, that would be real good. We'd appreciate that. By the way, I failed to mention it this morning. There's some food on the desk in the foyer. Now, I don't know where it came from, but it was here Thursday, all right? And so it is, somebody brought it, put it out there. If you can use, I didn't say if you need it. Everybody say, we don't need that, we don't need that. Okay, but if you can use it, it's there, all right? It's there, and I'd strongly ask you, take it, all right? Take it there. By the way, there's a pair of men's pants out there that are size 42, 32, all right? So if you fit the bill there, you say, well, my legs are too short, just roll the pants up, all right? Nothing to it. And, you know, if you can wear those, and I'm very serious about it. Don't say, well, somebody else might need it. Well, somebody else not here, all right? You're here. We've got 36 eggs that are in the refrigerator in the kitchen. They were here. You said, well, are they good? I don't know. I have no idea. Somebody told me there is a way you can tell it. They're good. They say if you put them in water and they float, they're good, all right? If they sink to the bottom, they're not any good. Is that right? It's the other way around, all right? I would just say crack them open and see what you think. But anyway, just to make sure, it's the other way around. So if they sink, they're good. If they float, they're bad, all right? I'm not an authority on eggs, all right? So they're there, and I encourage you. I hope, you know, if somebody, if you can use them, once again, you don't have to need them. If you can use them, make use of them. I strongly ask you to take it, all right? Take it and use it. Every so often we have somebody bring food to the church, and they just leave it. They don't tell us, and they just put it there. And so it was the other day, and there it is. So if you can use it, take advantage of it. All right, 1 Kings chapter 18, if you will. We're going to begin reading in verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together and unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now, I'm going to leave off reading there. I've preached out of this portion of Scripture I don't know how many times. You say, well, how come? Because there's a lot there, all right? And just going to preach tonight for a little bit. I want to preach to you on two things Elijah believed about God. Two things Elijah believed about God. I don't know about you, but man, I still get a childish delight when I read this chapter in the Bible. Man, there's just something about it. I like excitement. You say, you're too old for that. Maybe so, but I still like excitement, all right? And I like the drama that there is in this chapter. I'll be honest, I like it when good whoops up on evil. I still like that, all right? I still like to see the good win and the bad get beaten. And I'll be honest, I still believe the truth of this account just as much as I did when I was a kid in Sunday school. Nothing has changed. I believe it happened just the way the Bible says right here. I don't think there's anything that needs to be altered or anything that needs to be explained away. Or, you know, somebody say, well, now, you know, it didn't really happen just like that. No, it happened just the way the Bible said. Don't have any problem believing that at all, you know. Elijah was like exactly who he says he was. He was a prophet of God. God had called him. He was the man of God for that hour. And God used him, all right? I have no doubt about that fact. On the other hand, Ahab was the king of Israel. And problem was, just as Elijah said here in verse 18, he said, the problem is you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And thou hast followed Balaam. You know, I wish it never happened. Wish it never happened in our day. But man, if you've been saved a long time, you've been faithful in church for years, you've seen people forsake the Lord. You've seen people just drift away and get away from God. It's a sad thing, but that's exactly what Ahab and his crowd did. They forsook the Lord. They knew the truth, all right? But the bad thing about Ahab, he was a very wicked king, and he led the whole country into the wickedness that he was involved in. You know, it's one thing if you drift away on your own, but it's another when you take somebody with you. And I'll say this to you, most people take somebody with them. Most people don't go downhill by themselves. Most people don't get away from God by themselves. They take somebody along. It may be friends. It may be family. Somebody that individual doesn't know that's watching them, but they take somebody away. And in this chapter, and I guess this thing that makes this chapter so exciting, Elijah throws out the challenge. He said, you round up all the prophets of Baal and all the prophets of the groves. Meet me on Mount Carmel, all right? And they get there, and boy, he says, all right, guys, basically, in our vernacular, it's time to put up or shut up. And so he challenges them to do it, and he said, we're going to do it, and we're going to put, you know, the two altars and the two sacrifices. We're going to pray down fire from heaven. Whichever God answers by fire, that's God. That's God. So that was it. Hey, I want to tell you, it's times like that that really reveals what you believe. Hey, can I say this to you? When everything's wonderful and everything's good and everything's going smooth, that's not really what reveals what you believe. It's when your beliefs are challenged. That reveals what you really believe. When the pressure's on, when maybe there's going to be a price, or you think possibly there could be a great price to pay, that's when you find out what you really believe, all right? So as I said, I just want you to see two things, 2 points tonight. We'll be done. We'll go home after we clean up, all right? Just simple, simple things, all right? Very much so. The number one thing I want you to see, if there's one thing Elijah believed, he believed God's able. God is able. Very simply, he believed God is able. We go to the book of Daniel. We see there the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were confronted by Nebuchadnezzar about bowing down to the image. Do you remember what they said? They said, God is able. God is able. Hey, Elijah believed that before they came along, all right? Elijah believed that before they came along. Now, I hope you believe it too, all right? I hope you do. But Elijah believed it. You said, okay, he was able. He's able to do what? Take your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. Over there in the New Testament, not the Gospel of John, but the little epistles of John right near the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 5. You said, what is God able to do? Well, the Bible says right here, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Hey, what's he able to do? He's able to hear. He's able to hear. Hey, we've got a God that still hears us when we pray, all right? He's still able to hear. That his hearing hasn't been affected by time, and it hasn't been destroyed by anything that's gone on. He's still able to hear us when we come. We know that if we call on him, he's able to hear. He hears us. Now, boy, that is a tremendous thing. That's a New Testament verse, but I'm going to tell you, Elijah knew it way back there in 1 Kings. He knew that God was able to hear. You said, how do you know he knew it? Because he was willing to risk everything on his belief that God would hear him when he prayed. That God would hear him. And so he was willing to challenge those prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves and say, all right, let's get on our knees before God. Let's pray, and you pray to yours, and I'll pray to mine, and we'll see who answers. Hey, I'll tell you, that's laying it on the line, okay? That's laying it on the line. There's no doubt about it, man. He said he's able to hear. He's able to hear. Hey, that's not all. He's able to help. He's able to help. In Psalms 121 and verse 2, the Bible says, my help cometh from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. You know, it's amazing to me, but so many of God's people, we pray, but it's the last resort. It's the last resort. When we've exhausted everything else, let's pray. Oh, can I tell you, that ought not to be the last resort. It ought to be the first resort. It ought to be what? You said, pray about what? Everything. Everything. I mean, you say, well, it's not that important. It's all right. It's all right. It's important enough for you to care about it. It's important enough for your Heavenly Father to hear from you, and he's able to help, all right? He's able to help, not just able to hear, but he's able to go beyond that to help. Not only does our God have ears, but he's got hands. He's got hands. And they can reach out and give us what we need, help us in this whole life. Look, we go lacking because we don't ask for him to help. We go lacking because we don't ask for him to help. We just don't do it, all right? We don't do it. Now, you say, well, I do. Well, really? When's the last time you prayed for something you just needed and saw God help you? Saw God help you. And it doesn't have to be big. Now, we pray and we talk about prayer requests, you know. And when we mention them, it's usually somebody's sick. Or we're praying for protection. Maybe somebody's traveling. Nothing wrong with that. Boy, I'm in favor of it. Now, I'm glad you don't come to church and say, well, I'm going to Walmart tomorrow. Would you pray I get a close parking spot? I don't think there's anything wrong with praying that way, but you ought to be in touch with God good enough to take care of that self, all right? You ought to be able to get hold of him and he can do it for you, all right? And nothing wrong with it. But I tell you what, we don't get the help because we don't ask for the help. We don't ask for the help. Hey, our God's able. He's able to hear us. He's able to help us, all right? He's able to help us. Take your Bible once again to the New Testament, to James chapter 4, all right? James chapter 4. Elijah, beyond a shadow of a doubt, believed that God was able. He believed that God was able to hear him. And you know what? He believed when he prayed, God would help him. He put it out there because he said, now, he needed help that you and I don't need. We don't need fire from heaven very often, all right? You say, well, if he'd light my barbecue out there. No, you can do it yourself, all right? You can do that yourself, all right? He doesn't need to do that. But old Elijah said, I know if I call on him, not only is he able to hear me, but he's able to help me. He can do that, all right? But what else? James chapter 4, if you will, look at verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Hey, he's able to save. He's able to destroy. But the Lord's able to save. What a wonderful blessing it is. Hebrews chapter 7 says, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able to save. Now I'll tell you this, he's the only one that's able to save your soul. He's the only one able to save your soul. He can do it. You said, preacher, Sunday night crowd, I know it. I know it. But I don't want to take for granted there might be somebody here really needs to get born again. Need to get saved. Need to trust the Savior. I've for years and years thought in our Christian school how sad it would be if a child came and sat in our Christian school and maybe for several years and then left that Christian school lost. Lost. Boy, that'd be terrible. That'd be terrible. The curriculum is Bible-centered. It's not just Bible-based. It's Bible-centered. And it presents the gospel over and over. And we preach to them. Brother Dunbar does most of the preaching in chapel. He preaches the truth to them. But you know what? People sit and hear the truth and ignore it. Ignore it. Boy, what a shame. How sad somebody could sit all that time and never get saved. Well, he should have preached it different. Hey, you just preach the truth. We preach the truth. It's up to somebody. Well, you should have done it this way. You should have done it. Hey, we preach it. It's up to people. It's up to people. Our God's able to hear us. He's able to help us. And boy, I guarantee he's able to save. He's able to save us spiritually. But I'll tell you this, he's able to save us physically. He's able to save us physically. Remember old Peter? Peter's there in the boat with the disciples that night, and they were rowing along, looked up, and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee. And the Lord said, well, come on. So Peter got out, and he walked on the water, but things got a little shaky, and old Peter had the good sense to say, Lord, save me. He wasn't talking about eternal salvation. He was talking about instantaneously, I don't want to drown, all right? And the Lord reached down, grabbed him, and he saved him. He's able to do that physically. But boy, he's the only one can save your soul. The only one. There's nobody else. People talk about, you know, salvation and somebody else or something else. You're wasting your time. There's only one can save your soul. Hey, our God's able. Elijah knew it. Elijah knew it. I'll be honest with you, I don't think what he was praying for that day was spiritual soul salvation, but he was praying, Lord, would you save our nation? Would you save our nation from a wicked king, an unbeliever, and one that's led the whole nation into idol worship? Lord, I want you to save our nation from that. He prayed about it, and he said, Lord, you send that fire from heaven. Not for my benefit, but for the benefit of this nation. Man, we need to pray the same thing for our nation. Need to pray the same thing for our nation. God, save it. Save it. The only one that can. He's the only one that can. I believe that with all this within me. I'm a believer in voting. There's an election in November. You ought to vote. You ought to vote. If you're not registered, go register, all right? And do whatever you need to. Well, it's inconvenient. Well, just inconvenience yourself, all right? But go vote. Go vote, all right? You ought to vote. But I'll tell you this. I'm not trusting my vote to save the nation. I'm asking God to save our nation. It's only God can do it, all right? He can change the heart of those fellows that are there and those women that are there in places of power. He can change it. He can save this country. But only he can. I don't think it'll ever be saved by any political party. In our day, unfortunately, we've got people that their interest is in their own power, in their own position. It's not in our country. It's not in our country. And they'll promise anything. That's why I say only God can save it. But he can save. Let's pray that he'll save our land, all right? You say, well, preacher, the Lord's coming back. I hope he will. But I don't handle that. I read somebody, it's God's standard time, not man's. Not Eastern standard or Mountain standard, you know, it's not Central. It's God's standard time, and he's going to do it. I've got 5 grandkids. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a little bit concerned about what they're going to have. I'm just a little bit concerned about what they're going to have. God save our nation. Can he? Oh, he's able. He's able. Elijah said, I know one thing. God's able. He said, that's why I'm praying to him. That's why I'm praying to him. Hey, he can help. He can hear. He can help. He can save. But not only that, he can heal. He can heal the land. He can heal the land. A land that had been destroyed by the leaders of that day. And, man, they had messed things up, and it was disastrous. And, boy, they had strayed away from God. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds familiar. God's able to do that, all right? We can stray away from his precepts, his principles. But God's still able to heal the land. I don't sit here in despair and wring my hands. I don't lay awake at night. I do lay awake at night, but it's not because I'm wringing my hands, all right? It's because I can't sleep, all right? And so I'll oftentimes wake up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, eventually just get up and give up on sleeping, you know. But, you know, it's always amazing. About 6:30, I can go back to sleep. I haven't quite figured that out yet, but anyway, it's amazing how that works. But listen, our God, he's able. He's able. He's able to heal the land. He's able to heal the land. You say, what else is he able to do? Elijah knew he was able. And that's not the only thing. Elijah knew God was available. He was available. Look, if you will, there in 1 Kings chapter 18. Didn't lose your place still there. 1 Kings chapter 18, I want you to look at one verse. You see, there was a difference between the God of Elijah and the God of the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. You say, what's the difference? Well, the difference was availability. Look, if you will, in verse 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Said that, who is that? Well, if you're not familiar with this account in the Word of God, it's all the prophets of Baal. They had been there in verse 26, man, they were calling on him. They'd call on him from morning even until noon, crying out. The Bible says, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. They got active. They got possessed in the whole deal. And then Elijah, man, he poured salt in the wounds, all right? He just laid it on there. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. I bet you there was sarcasm dripping all over the place when Elijah was talking to that bunch. He said, what was the problem? Hey, they're God. He said, you're God. He is God. But he's not available, all right? He's not available. You can't get him. You know, he's on a journey. He's asleep. But whatever it is, he's not available. Boy, thank God we have a God who's available. He's available. He's available. He said, what? He's available to everybody that'll call. That'll call on him. Psalms 86. Look there in Psalms 86, would you? That 86th Psalm, verse 5. We don't have anywhere to go tonight. We'll just have a good time in the Word of God. And Psalm 86, would you look there in verse 5 just for a moment, all right? Psalm 86 in the 5th verse there. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy, notice, unto all. I love that word, all. Amen. Unto all them that call upon thee. Calvinistic crowd likes to talk about all, not all without exception, but all. I can't even remember. It's crazy saying. That word means all. He said, what does all mean? Well, it means all. If somebody comes along and said, I ate all the cookies in that package. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I wouldn't go to that package looking to expect anything, all right? I figure you ate them all right? Just every one of them. Ate all of them. And the Bible says he is, and he's plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He said, not only is God able, but he's available. And he's available to people that call. people that call. I've told people numerous times, if you need something, call. I've had people tell me that. Brother Pike, he's told me many times. He said, now, preacher, if you need something, just call me. Just call me. And if I need him, I'm going to call him. And he's going to say, I'm sorry, man, I'm real busy. No, I don't know. I don't know that, okay? But I'm glad our God's available. And all we have to do, we just got to call. Just have to call. Look, you said, preacher, this ain't nothing new. Well, why don't we call? Why don't we call on him? Oh, one of the things that's lacking in so many Christians' lives is a prayer life. We don't call. We don't call. Does your Bible say what mine does? My Bible says we have not because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. Go without because we don't call. I remember when Brother Whitaker, he came to me and talked to me about joining our church and all of that, and through time found out some things, you know, and he talked about how there was a time when they were there in Belize and, man, just really doing without. And I looked him in the eye and I said, Brother Whitaker, if you do without, it's going to be because you don't call. It's going to be because you don't call. You need to call. If you find yourself in that position, I want you to call. I want you to call. You know, it's amazing. The ungodly, the folks that have no use for God, and I really believe what I'm fixing to say here, that have no use for God, won't go to church and don't go to church, but when they get in the fix, they call the church. And they say, could you pay my rent? Could you pay my utility bill? Could you do this? Could you do that? When people call me and I talk to them, first question, where do you go to church? I love the ones tell me, well, I haven't found one yet. Well, how long have you lived here? 5 years. Okay, you're not looking. You're not looking. Can you imagine somebody saying, I need some groceries because I haven't found a grocery store yet? How long you lived here? 5 years. Okay, you lived here 5 years and you hadn't found a grocery store yet? Said, how come you're pushing your car, don't have any gas? Well, are you don't have any money? No, I don't know where a gas station is. You're not looking. You're not looking. Hey, our God is available to those who will call. Let me give you a couple more verses. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. It does help when you tell God the truth, okay? Does help when you call. You know, that's why I'm convinced a lot of people when they call for help, they don't call God. Because they tell you a lie. People tell you stuff's not true. Romans 10:12, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. He's rich. He's rich. Well, how much do we not have because we don't ask? We don't ask. Now, I hope you realize, boy, I hope you're not sitting there making a note to yourself. Yeah, I'm going to go home and be asking for $1 million. I'm going to win the lottery. Come on, you got to be kidding. There's something a lot more important than that. There's a lot of things a lot more important than that. Boy, I mean, that's one that comes in. The Bible says when you ask that you can consume it on your own lust. Hey, the truth is, if God, there's a huge number of people, if God dumped a lot of money on them, they'd leave him and they'd be gone. You'd never see them again. And the only thing they'd concentrate on is just having a good time. Hey, I'm talking about God's people. You have an available God. He's available to call upon. You need help? Call him. You need healing? Call him, all right? Call upon him. He's available to all those that'll call. But not only that, he's available to all those who'll come. Look in John chapter 7, would you? John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37. Now, not the epistle, but the gospel of John, all right? John chapter 7, verse 37. The Lord Jesus Christ was alive. He was on the earth. And notice I said he was alive and on the earth. He's still alive, but he's not on the earth, okay? And the last day, verse 37 of John 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink. Hey, the invitation was, hey, if you'll come, I can give you something. If you'll come, I can give you something. In Matthew chapter 11. Now, in John chapter 7 right there, that is a specific invitation, first of all, specifically to those people that were there right then, okay? But if you go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What do you need? Well, come. 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 I'm amazed. I was talking to my wife this afternoon. I mentioned to her, I said, the thing that always baffles me is how so many people can't figure out, they can't seem to put two and two together and look and see, you know, we're having all kinds of problems, and it never occurs to them the reason we do is we got away from God, we quit trusting him, we quit calling him, we quit coming to him, and we can't figure out why we got such a mess to live in. Well, call and come to him. Come to him. My uncle, I think, is the one I heard made this statement. He said people would call the church when he pastored, and they'd say, well, we need some help. Do y'all help people? He said, yes, three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We help people. He said, if you'll come, we'll help you. We'll help you. But the problem is people won't come. People won't come. Brother Chester over here ruined my example I used to use on people. That guy right there is his fault. I can remember, people come and they say, man, we need some help. And they said, hey, listen, I'll be in church Sunday. My pat answer, you said, preacher, you shouldn't have said it. Well, I just told the truth. I said, if you do, you'll be the first one that ever did. You'll be the first one there. Now I have to say, you'll be the second one. You'll be the second one. Because I remember way back yonder, we met Chester and Teresa. They needed some help, and they came and asked for help, and they came to church. Now we can't get rid of him. Now we don't want to get rid of him, all right? We're glad he's here. But he ruined my example of talking to people, all right? I just have to tell him, you'll be the second one. You'll be the second one. It's amazing. People want help, but they only want a little bit of help. Don't give me too much, you know. Hey, do you help people? Sure do. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We help people. We help people. Man, all you got to do is come. Isn't it amazing how you get blessed in the house of God? And, hey, it's not because of the preacher. It's just what God does for you, all right? It's what God does for you. If you just show up, you'll just come. You'll just come. You just have to come. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that. He's available to those who will call. He's available to those who will come. Those two things. But wait a minute. Still got your Bible there. Go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, okay? 1 John chapter 1. I want you to see this. Now, this verse, you're going to say, never heard that verse before. Never heard that verse before. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's a preacher. I've heard that verse. I know you have. But I just want to tell you again, he's available to those who will confess. He's available to those who will confess. My Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Hey, he's available to those who will confess. Who will confess. He said, what do you get? I mean, he's available to those that will make things right with him. See, the thing that messes us up is our relationship with God's our sin. That's what separates us from God. When you, as a child of God, you're saved, you've been born again, you've got that father-son relationship with God, and everything's good. And you say, well, preacher, we've got eternal security, so my sins are forgiven. And they are. But when you sin, what happens? It breaks that fellowship. Oh, it messes that up. Y'all not going to believe this, but on rare occasions when I was a kid, I was disobedient. Now, mostly it's my brother's fault, all right? But on rare occasions, no, it wasn't rare. But I'd get in trouble. I'd get in trouble because I was disobedient. I was disobedient. We broke fellowship. We broke fellowship. Couldn't go to Dad and say, hey, Dad, would you buy me a Coke? I couldn't go to him. Why? Well, we didn't have any fellowship. Now, why? God's fault? Dad's fault? No, my fault. My fault. All my fault. Now, wait a minute. Same way with you and I. We disobey our God. Things get messed up between us and Him. And we think, well, what's wrong? Well, go look in the mirror. That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. We need to come and confess. We just need to make it right. You say, well, He already knows. Yeah, but it's good for you. It's good for me to admit it. It's just good to admit you're wrong. I've told you about the instance when I was a little boy and threw a rock at the cat, the neighbor's cat, and didn't hit the cat. Cat didn't get hurt. My mom told me, son, you go next door and you tell the neighbor you're sorry you threw a rock at the cat. I'll be honest with you, that was good for me. I didn't enjoy it, but that's good for me. It's good for me to go next door, look at neighbor and I, and mumble out, I'm sorry I threw a rock at your cat. It was good. Hey, listen to me. It's good when we admit we're wrong before God. It's good when we say, Lord, I've sinned. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm sorry for it. I want you to forgive me. Why? I want that fellowship. I want that relationship restored. Boy, there's no joy for the Christian who's living a sinful, disobedient life. There's no joy there. But if you're right with God, oh, hot diggity dog, it is sure good, all right? It is just a good thing, all right? Just a good thing. God's mercy is for all who will confess their sin and turn to God for forgiveness. It's available. His mercy is available. Hey, two things Elijah believed. He believed God was able, and he believed God was available. He didn't plan out this thing saying, well, I hope God's not too busy today. He knew, hey, God's going to hear me. And God's going to hear me. He's going to help me. He's going to save me. He's going to heal the land. He's available. All I got to do is call. He's available. All I got to do is come. He's available. All I got to do is confess. I just come. He's available. Now you hear me real quickly, and I'm done tonight. He'll always be available. He'll always be able. But he's not always going to be available. You said, do what? I said, he will always be able, but he's not always going to be available. Take your Bible, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. There's a scary verse. Verse 28 says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how you feel, but boy, that's a scary verse. That's a scary verse. The Bible said there's coming a time that people are going to call, he's not going to answer. He will not answer. They've waited too long. Now, hey, he's able today, and he's available today. Today's the day you better seek him. Hey, you got a need? Seek him today. Seek him today. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but, you know, if I cut myself and the blood was squirting out, I wouldn't wrap it up and say, I'd probably go to the doctor and check on that tomorrow. Well, that'd be kind of dumb. Hey, look, you have a need. Today, seek him today. He's able now. He's available now. Now's the time to come. Now's the time to come. Now's the time to call. Now's the time to confess. Crazy. One of the most unbelievable verses in the Bible is there in Exodus, where God has sent the plague of frogs on Egypt. And Pharaoh comes back and he says, okay, I've had enough. And Moses said, okay, when do you want the frogs taken away? And Moses says, tomorrow. Pharaoh says, tomorrow. What? What in the world? Can you imagine how every housewife in that land would have felt had they known he said tomorrow? When he could have said, well, right now be real good, all right? Right now. I can remember my dad, he'd be going somewhere and ordering something, and somebody said, when do you need it? He said, yesterday. Yesterday. Hey, look, and here's Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, well, tomorrow we'll get rid of it. I'll be honest with you, that didn't make any sense to me. And I'm saying to you tonight, if you have a need, if you have a need from God, why are you going to wait till tomorrow to call? Why would you wait for tomorrow to come? Why would you wait until tomorrow? Well, I'll get right with him tomorrow, and I'll come, I'll confess, and I'll call on him tomorrow. What, you have a need now? Why would you do that? I don't know about y'all, but if I'm miserable, I want relief now. I want relief now. I don't want to wait. I want it right now. And, you know, I've had trouble with kidney stones. Sometimes, man, there's a lot of pain associated with them. And I've been in the hospital before, and, you know, okay, you can have this medicine here, and then in 3 hours or 2 hours and 14 minutes and 18 seconds, you can have another dose, you know, and whatever it is. And I want to tell you, that next dose, the need arises before the time is out, okay? I've been in the bed climbing through the covers, you know, and everything else. Man, I want to go run the clock up, all right? I want some help now. I want deliverance now. I want relief now. You want something from God. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Come now and confess. Boy, listen, if the fellowship's broken between you and God, don't wait till tomorrow. Come confess now. You just mess things up. Just ask him now for help. Come now. If you got a need, call on him now. Call on him now. Don't wait. Hey, he's able. He's available. Now the lost world's going to find the day will come when he's not available. Not available. Now I'm glad when that time comes, we're going to be with him. But the day's coming. He's available now. You need something? Call on him. Come to him. You need to confess, confess. Now, by the way, if people come, I don't want you to sit there and think, wonder what they're confessing. Hey, you confess if you need to confess, but boy, sometimes we need something. We don't need to confess, but we need to call. We need to come. We need to come. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, I pray now, you'll just speak to our hearts. Lord, help us see.